Bolt Talk number 007. It's Tuesday, August 23rd, 2005. Hey, Charger fans, welcome to the Bolt Talk podcast. My name is Ray, and I'm your host. If you're a first-time listener, I'd like to welcome you to the show, and also I'd like to invite you out to the main website at www.bolttalk.com. Check out all the stuff out there. And if you're a current listener, I'd like to welcome you guys back, and thank you again for staying subscribed. All right, guys, I got a great show for you guys tonight. I'm not going to keep the news section too long because I have a little roundtable discussion, not so much roundtable, but I had a chance to talk to Brian from the Vikings Underground about the upcoming game against the Minnesota Vikings. So let me jump right into the news and get you guys caught up. All right, Bolt fans, so we have some great news today from the Chargers. Antonio Gates, who reported to the Chargers on Sunday, today signed a six-year, $24 million deal, which includes a $10 million signing bonus. So we got our all-world, all-pro tight end locked up for the next 6 years. I really don't care what happened the last 10 months. I don't really care how he came in late. And I don't really care that he's not going to be able to play the first week of the season. I'm just happy that we have Antonio Gates here locked up. He's happy to be here in San Diego. He's a great, great guy. He's not looking to become, you know, or to get paid Tony Gonzalez type money. So he's here. He knows that there's a good thing going on. He loves his teammates. He loves the coaches. He loves the city of San Diego. And he's just ready to come in and win. Winning is what's important to him, and it's what's important to everybody else on this team. So congratulations to Antonio Gates. Congratulations to the Chargers for locking him up. I know it was kind of screwy the way things transpired over the weekend and before that. And I don't know what happened. It seems so easy this past 24 hours to get a deal done. I just don't understand what happened during the last 10 months. But we're done. We're going forward. All 22 starters are returning this year. And I'm ready to go. I'm like you fans, I'm ready for the season to start, the regular season to start. So that's basically it with that. Okay, big win this past Sunday. That was fun out there in the stadium. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen a preseason game that resembled a regular season game. It was sold out. It was packed. The fans were into it. People were out there tailgating. They were out there burning cars. You know, you guys heard about that, the incident with the cars burning up because of the charcoal that was left out there. But anyways, that's something else. Sorry, got sidetracked. But yeah, it was a great time. The first team offense and first team defense looked great. We moved the ball. We ran the ball. Our offensive linemen opened up huge holes for Michael Turner and LaDainian. LaDainian had a 55-yard average, and he looks so much faster than he did last year. He definitely is at 100%. Michael Turner had a great game. I thought that Rashay Caldwell had a huge game. He looks great. He's running precise routes. He looks like he's 100% back. Kind of disappointed a little bit with Kasim Osgood. I thought that they really tried to get him the ball, and he had a couple of opportunities to pull some in, but it just didn't work out, so I really hope that he bounces back here in the last two games. Defensively, we played pretty solid. There was a couple of big pass plays there. But other than that, we really shut down the running game. And our second and third stringers that came in there in the second half really put the clamps down on the Rams' second and third string players. Merriman finally got to get out on the field. He looked good at times, very quick. He did not have a game like DeMarcus Ware did yesterday on Monday night, but I really think that Sean Merriman is going to make an impact here on the defense, especially on passing situations. I'd like to, let's see what else. I'd like to see a little bit more of a pass rush. I know that we had a couple of sacks, but the two touchdown passes that were thrown by Mark Bulger basically was due to a lack of pass rush. So I'd like to see them work on that a little bit. I know it's preseason. I know we're not showing too much out of our blitz packages, and that's fine. So as long as we get more than 29 sacks this year. All right, guys. Well, that's pretty much all I have for tonight as far as news is concerned. So what I'm going to do right now is, like I said earlier in the show, I met up with Brian from the Vikings Underground, and we had a little discussion about the Vikings, the Chargers, and the upcoming game here against the Vikings on Friday. So I hope you guys enjoy this segment. Thanks. So this is Ray from the Bull Talk Podcast, and joining me today is...
Brian Moss. I am a Vikings fan here in Minnesota, and I run the Viking Underground blog. Good to be here, Ray.
Likewise. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about both the Chargers and the Vikings, since we're going to be matching up this week on Friday.
Yep, you guys are coming, making the trip up to Minnesota. It's our third preseason game, and was it your third or fourth? Some teams start early, I know.
Yeah, actually, this is also our third game. We had a game this past Sunday, so it's actually going to be a pretty short week for the Chargers here.
I hate when the NFL schedules like that. I mean, you just want to come out of preseason healthy and with some questions answered, and hopefully both teams will leave healthy again. Great thing for Chargers fans. I can't recall when the last time you were up here and played us, but we do have field turf now. They installed it last season, so we don't have that hard AstroTurf that the Metrodome used to have. It's a more giving field.
Ah, then that's great news. I really hate to see players go down on that kind of that AstroTurf stuff. So, yeah, I don't remember exactly when we were there last. It may have been a preseason game, but I do recall a regular season game, and that was back when we were in contention for the Super Bowl with Stan Humphries and the Chargers of the mid-90s. So it's been a while, I think.
I do remember that game, believe it or not. And on my Viking, I wear a Viking helmet, and just like you see every other Viking fan wear when and if you watch the game. And the neat thing about it is I'll put a little patch on the back of the helmet once we beat a team. It's a kill. And I remember thinking, we're going to be able to put this San Diego Chargers patch on the back of my helmet after this game, but we ended up losing it.
Yeah, I remember. I believe that your quarterback for that game was Sean Salisbury.
It was. I hated him. my view on Sean has softened a little bit now that he's become just a regular on ESPN. But I'm trying to remember, you had a running back. Now I forget his name. And he must have had about 400 yards rushing against us that day.
I believe that, it was either Merriam Butts or Natrone Means. Most likely it was Merriam Butts. But
It was Natrone, now that you say it.
It was Natrone, okay. Yeah, he was a big boy, but he had very quick feet, and he did fairly well that year.
I had never heard of the guy before that game, believe it or not. And, I knew his name after that.
Wow, a lot of things have changed. All right, so what's the reaction? Well, let's talk about the current preseason. What's going on in the Vikings camp?
Well, the camp has broke. They practice in a small city called Mankato, which is about an hour to 80-minute drive south of the Twin Cities. And so they broke camp out of that training facility just last week, and now they're actually up here practicing at their regular home, Winter Park, in Minneapolis. And they're in the same situation everybody else is. They're just assessing talent. They let five people go today, so they're starting to trim down the roster. The first team offense is pretty well set. We do have some question marks on the offensive line because of injury. Our all-pro center, Matt Burke, who has been dealing with various ailments from related to sports hernias, looks like he might be going back under the knife, and we could be losing him for the season. So what they're trying to do is just manipulate the offensive line to find the right mix, because they're having to pull guards to now play center and so forth. So that'll be one of the lingering question marks going into the game and the rest of preseason. But with Dante Culpepper at quarterback, we're set. With Nate Burleson, Travis Taylor, Marcus Robinson at wide receiver, we're set. Running back is a question mark, again, due to injury. Michael Bennett came out of our preseason game against the Jets with a sprained neck. It looks like he's going to be sitting out the game Friday night. So they're going to bring in second-year player, Melweldy Moore, who had a very good showing last year before he got hurt. And then it's just trying to see if our defense is going to gel a little bit more. We had quite a tumultuous offseason when we traded Randy Moss and picked up some fantastic defensive free agents and Pat Williams and Fred Smoot, Napoleon Harris. But what those guys are trying to do now is just all gel as a team and get used to each other and playing together. So we're just looking to have a great game against San Diego and get a few more questions answered.
That's great. Yeah, I was very impressed last year when Nate Burleson really stepped up when Randy Moss went down with injury. I mean, I've told people here that, you know, that you guys aren't really going to skip a beat. I mean, you guys know what it's like to play without Randy Moss already.
That's true. When Moss went down, he pulled the hammy against the Saints, I think, on the Sunday night game. And we were very worried because we lost our speedster. And we still really do not have a true speedster at wide receiver. We've got a guy by the name of Kelly Campbell, which he's a speedster, but he's on the small side. And I would list him as probably our number four wide receiver. And, of course, there's the rookie that we picked up this year, and that's Mr. Williamson. I refer to him as the kid, but he's trying to just work his way into the rotation. Coach Mike Tice is bringing him along slowly. But we'll see Williamson on the field probably with the first team a little bit this coming Friday night.
That's great. Yeah, well, from the Chargers camp, I mean, I don't know if you've read about it, but I think we're the only team in the NFL right now returning all 22 starters from last year. And with Antonio Gates finally coming to camp, that basically completed the whole 22. So,
I wanted to ask you a little bit about Ray. You know, of course, Gates has been in the news quite a bit this week with reporting late. And all the fantasy football owners out there, of course, are watching that very closely, too. What is the official word on Antonio Gates? Is he going to be suspended just for the remaining preseason games, or is that first regular season game in the mix now, too?
Well, actually, we have huge news today out of San Diego, and that's Antonio Gates signed a 6-year deal today with the Chargers, and it's reported to be worth about $24 million. With a $10 million signing bonus. Now, because he did not report to camp by 12:30 Saturday, he is still going to miss 3 games, and that includes the opener against Dallas. So if you are a fantasy football owner, I mean, definitely draft him if you have a chance, but he will not be playing for you in week one.
Well, it sounded like his agent was going to try to create some, you know, wiggle room, if you will, where it would just be the preseason games, but he would still be eligible for that first regular season game. So it's come down officially that he's out for 3 games.
Yes, and that's from the NFL. And really, the agent really has no say in that. That's part of the collective bargaining agreement. And once a letter is issued to a player, once he's placed in that restricted list that they mentioned, you are automatically suspended for 3 games. So I really don't know. It's kind of weird how they were negotiating for 10 months, and at first the agent offered a 6-year deal with the Chargers, and then the Chargers said, no, we want him for 5. The agent said, nope, we're going to go down to 3, and if you sign us for 3, we'll make less than a Tony Gonzalez. But then all of a sudden, we sign him today for 6. So, yeah.
Agents just make it really exciting for us, don't they?
They really, really do. And honestly, I have this weird feeling that Antonio Gates really would have came in sooner. But perhaps one of those, agent things again where you just advise them to not say anything, let me do it, and this is exactly what happened. So it hurts both sides. One, Antonio was at a training camp this whole time, so, even though he was training perhaps on his own, you can't really duplicate that outside of training camp. And two, the Chargers are going to miss him now for game one against Dallas.
Yeah, and I can just envision these players, because it happens so many times where, the player's holding out, and all you're hearing from is from the agent. And in my mind, I'm going, I can just see that player chomping at the door. I'm going in, man. I'm going in. And the agent's saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. Just listen to me. And then when the player does finally report, it's always, the story is always, the player just told the agent to F it, and I'm going in, and I'm signing because I want to get there, and I want to start practicing with my team.
Absolutely. And this situation was pretty strange in that once Antonio showed up for training camp, he came out and said that, hey, I tried to make it on Saturday, but I missed my flight, and his agent didn't know anything about this. So it's like the player and agent weren't even talking to each other or weren't even on the same page, But, hey, he's in camp, and I'm just happy to have him back.
And you've got Drew Brees signed. You've got LaDainian. I mean, you've got 3 studs now on the offense.
We do. We have our big 3, if you want to call it. And Drew Brees was franchise tagged, which would which basically paid him $8 million for this year. The Chargers, Brees has come out and said that he wants to play here for the rest of his career and wants a long-term contract. But the Chargers drafted Phillip Rivers last year, and they're in a situation right now where they want to see if Brees can do it again, if he's a real deal. So, honestly, I think after this season, I'm pretty sure that one of those two will not be around. Whether it's Brees or Rivers is yet to be determined. But yes, they are. And, it would be easy to think that they wouldn't be getting along because here's a guy coming in to take my job away from me, and all of a sudden he holds out of camp, and I'm the big star Pro Bowl quarterback now. But no, they get along great. All 3 quarterbacks, Cleo Lemons, our third string quarterback, Brees and Rivers, they're fine. And Rivers really knows his place. He knows that this is Drew Brees' team, and he's come out and said that he's going to prepare the best he can, and if he's not the starter, he's going to try to be the best backup quarterback in the NFL.
Great. That's great for team chemistry.
Absolutely. And as far as the offensive side is concerned, we did restructure Keenan McCardell's contract. We picked him up in the middle of the year last year with through a trade with Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Eric Parker, Rashay Caldwell, who was our starter last year, went down with a knee injury in the beginning of the season. He's back at 100%. We drafted Vincent Jackson in the second round this year, a big wide receiver. And honestly, I can't remember exactly what college that was. But he is actually a little dinged up right now. So he hasn't played in, he didn't play last preseason game. And he played just a part of the first game against Green Bay, but didn't have any catches. And we're also returning Kasim Osgood, who's our 5th wide receiver right now. So we're looking pretty good. We don't have that deep threat burner type wide receiver. They're kind of all pretty undersized with the exception of Kasim Osgood and Vincent Jackson. And really they're more of a possession type receiver group there, with Eric Parker maybe being the fastest out of that group. And as you know, Antonio Gates is back in camp, and backing him up is Justin Peele and Ryan Krause. So we have some depth there at tight end. I mean, the two I mentioned, Ryan Krause and Justin Peele, obviously are not at the same level with Antonio Gates. They can do their job with in regards to blocking and catching the ball out of the backfield. And as you know, LaDainian Tomlinson's back, who I consider probably to be the best back in the NFL right now. And
no doubt about that.
And backing him up is going to be Michael Turner. We did let go of a running back by the name of Jesse Chapman. And last I heard, he's hanging out for Oakland and Minnesota. Did you hear anything about that?
No. I'd have to look into that.
Yeah, he was let go because of he had been gaining a little bit of weight and wasn't around the facility during the off season to rehab himself from I think he had a foot injury of some sort. So we let him go, and he immediately went to go take a physical for Oakland, and also they said that Minnesota was interested in bringing him in as well. So. And I think that's in the result of what, Ontario Smith being out.
Yeah, when we call him Sod.
Mm-hmm.
Steal the draft. I guess that's what he called himself. So when he got caught, you know, smoking the peace pipe, if you will, again, and we lost him. And as it's been proven now, recently in the NFL, and you can't just have a featured back anymore, because 9 times out of 10 they're going to go down at some point during the season. So even though I hate it, even though fantasy football coaches hate it, every team now has to have a running back platoon system.
Absolutely.
So it wouldn't surprise me to bring in some more running backs even before camp preseason is over.
So at this time, do you think that so Michael Bennett's the number one right now? You would say
Michael Bennett is number one on the depth chart, and quite personally, he's a great guy. He's probably the fastest player in the NFL. He ran track at Wisconsin. He was going to try out for the Olympic Games, but decided that he wanted to commit himself to the team and just train specifically for football in the off season. But as you'll watch the game Friday night, and if he does get in, he's been a little tentative. He does a little tippy-toe thing. He's looking for the hole. He can't find it. He doesn't have a lot of great lateral movement. So the fans here are clamoring to see Mwelde Moore, who we've nicknamed Mimo. The kid's just, you know, he sees a hole, bam, he's through. And he cuts very well. And backing him up is a kid we just drafted this year, I think in the 4th or 5th round. It's a fantastic find from what I've seen of him. His name is Ciatric Fasten. And this kid looks to be the real deal. And unfortunately, he had a high ankle sprain coming out of the New York Jets game, so we might not see him this Friday either, which is unfortunate, because it, you know, as being a true football fan, I'm sure you would enjoy just watching some different running backs, and if you're a fantasy football player, you know, starting some guys down for the later rounds.
Absolutely, and I picked up Michael Bennett last year, and I had him sitting there for the longest time waiting for him to get in, and it just didn't pan out for me.
I'd avoid him. You know, that's just me. I would avoid Michael until we figure out exactly what's going to happen. And again, going back to just so many questions right now with the Vikings offensive line, my advice for fantasy football coaches out there, if you haven't done so already, move Dante Culpepper up to even possibly above Peyton Manning. He's going to have a phenomenal year.
You know, I have to agree with you.
He's going to have a great passing attack.
Absolutely, I agree. In fact, last year, I was fortunate enough to win my fantasy football league, and my team was, they were calling me the Minnesota Vikings, basically, because I had so many Vikings on my team. I had Dante as my quarterback. I picked up Nate Burleson in the middle of the season, and I also had, like I said, I had Michael Bennett as my running back, so, and Mo Williams.
Burleson's great in his runs, his yardage after the catch, and you know, if you play in any type of yardage league, he is going to be a great wide receiver just for that. Any for the Viking fans out there, any San Diego position battles that we should just kind of watch for?
Absolutely. I mean, going into this game, it's still yet to be determined who is going to play opposite of Keenan McCardell as a starting wide receiver. Now, I mentioned earlier that Rashe Caldwell is back at 100%, and this past game against the Rams, he looked fantastic. He was very much involved in the offense for both the first and second team, and he was running precise routes, making every catch. He's battling it out right now with Eric Parker, who was our number two wide receiver last year after Caldwell went down. So we're not really sure yet who's exactly. I came out in my last podcast and said that basically the job is Eric Parker's. He looked fantastic. But after last game, I think now there's a lot more competition. So that battle is going to be definitely interesting to see. We're going to see probably a lot of Eric Parker and Caldwell again this game against the Vikings. And speaking of Eric Parker, he's going to be battling out also as punt returner against Darren Sproles. Now, Darren Sproles, the little 5'6 running back who came out of Kansas State University, he's already a fan favorite over here. Kind of reminds everybody here of little Lionel Train, James from the Air Coryell era. Mm-hmm. So, and Darren Sproles, just real quick, he is our third running back behind Michael Turner. A really fast guy, low to the ground, a little undersized. I mean, he got away with a lot of big runs in college because of his small size, hiding behind the offensive linemen and stuff. But here in the NFL, in the first two games, he hasn't really been effective at all in the running game. He's been shut down. But as far as other battles, that's basically it right now. Just those. On the defensive side, there really isn't any big battles. It's mostly from what I've seen at the wide receiver position. We haven't decided yet whether we're going to carry six or five wide receivers. So anybody that's in that fifth spot is going to be battling it out, and that's going to be between Kasim Osgood and the rest of the other rookies and free agents such as a player by the name of Willie Quinney. He caught the touchdown pass at Green Bay from Phillip Rivers.
Hey, he's a favorite of ours then.
Yeah.
Touchdown at Green Bay, you're on our good list.
We had that game, by the way. Nate Kading, by the way, bounced back big this last game against the Rams, hit two fairly long field goals to break a string of four misses in a row dating back to the wild card game against the Jets. And I guess the only other position battle that hasn't been determined yet, it really is at outside linebacker. I know that Ben Lieber is our starter right now, and he has all the experience in the world, but we still have two more games, and Sean Merriman is going to be out there, our top draft pick this year. And if he figures out this 3-4 defense pretty quick and really makes an impact during these preseason games, then maybe that's a position that he can win over Ben Lieber. Oh, and I have one more, and that's at free safety, which is basically, I think, our weakest position on the defensive side. And right now we have two guys battling for it, and that's Jerry Wilson, the starter from last year, and the free agent pickup that we got this year from Green Bay, Bauju. So those guys are battling it out, and honestly, I think Jerry Wilson's going to win this one.
Well, excuse me, I've got to call Dante real quick and tell him to pick on free safety Friday night.
You know what? Dante's going to see that right away. He's going to see a lot of we're going to have to cover Robinson and Burleson and I forget. I'm sorry. What's the name of your tight end coming out of the backfield?
There's Jermaine Wiggins, who came in last year after Jimmy Kleinsaucer was hurt.
Right.
So you'll see a lot of two tight end setups this year because Jimmy Kleinsaucer is probably the best blocking tight end in the NFL. Jermaine Wiggins is a fantastic pass catching tight end. But we'll probably won't even see Marcus Robinson has been jumped over now by Travis Taylor. Travis Taylor, a free agent we picked up from the Ravens. And Taylor has outplayed Robinson. Maybe outplayed isn't the right word, but Taylor, for the moment, has been given the number one spot opposite of Nate Burleson.
So but, what is it with the Vikings and former Raven wide receivers here?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's, you know, Brian Billick having a connection and, you know, the old boy network, and they call each other and go, hey, you know, I've got an unhappy camper here. Would you like to pick him up? He's a really good guy. You know, we still have a lot of good connections down in Arizona with Denny Green, too. So you probably see a lot of Vikings and Cardinals going from Phoenix to Minneapolis and vice versa.
Right, right. So Travis Taylor's he jumped over Marcus Robinson. Now, I had a question in regards to Nate Burleson. I mean, he and Dante seem to have a fantastic chemistry so quick here.
Well, they've spent the entire off season together. And Dante is very competitive, and Nate Burleson has glommed onto that. They've spent off season together. They went to various training camps. When I say training camps, you know, they'd meet at somebody's house down in Florida, for instance, and work out for a couple of weeks. And they're totally in sync. The only issue I have is, will Dante go to Nate too much, just like he would force the ball into Randy Moss? And so far, we're not seeing that this preseason. Dante, for the few series that he's been left in for the two early preseason games, Dante spreading the ball around, which is exactly what I wanted to see. But you're right, there is a fantastic chemistry there, and I just hope it continues to carry through.
Now, have you seen a change in Dante Culpepper now that Randy Moss has moved on?
Well, yes, and, you know, I hate to admit yes, but I'm a big Randy Moss fan. I'm willing to put up with his off-season crap because he is such a talented player. The players say that there was not an issue in the locker room, but you tend to think you had the owner, the former owner, Red McCombs, mad. You had Mike Tice, who obviously did not have control of the team, mad. You had Dante mad because he wanted to be the guy, but everybody knew that Moss, well, for a longest time up here, it was plain that Moss was boss. And now that he's gone, you can see a change in Mike Tice, and you can see a change in Dante Culpepper, that they know this is now their team. This now has their stamp on it. And they also know that because of that, there's no more excuses. If the Vikings don't do well this year, if they don't make the playoffs, there's no else to point to other than themselves.
Right. Now, I consider Randy Moss the best wide receiver in the game today. Do you feel like you guys got enough for him?
No. There's, you know, to get enough for Randy would have been that Herschel Walker-esque trade that was never going to happen. And I'm also interested in following Moss this year to see, did we make the trade at the right time? Right now, it looks that way based off of, you know, his news-breaking event from last week that he was smoking marijuana.
Right.
Even if it was taken out of context or not, who cares? You don't say that stuff. Will he be able to go through another season without an injury? You know, he's getting long in the tooth for a wide receiver. Was that hamstring injury just the precursor to a whole rash of injuries? And if so, maybe the Vikings did dump him at the right time. Did they get enough value for him? No. I mean, even if Napoleon Harris plays out and has a fantastic season this coming season and is an all-pro linebacker, you're still not going to make up for having, you know, a dozen to 17 touchdown catches out of your wide receiver.
So, on the Vikings side, where have they improved the most during the off season?
Oh, definitely defense. You know, they picked up who I call Pat the Planet Williams from Buffalo, the free agent.
Mm-hmm.
They have Sam Cowart from the Jets. they have, you know, again, Napoleon Harris. They picked up Darian Sharper from the Packers, Fred Smoot. It's an all-star lineup, a huge upgrade in defense. The lingering question will be, how long will it take for these guys to gel and play together as a team? Hopefully within the first couple of games. I don't want to be in the situation the Vikings have been in the last few years where we're trying to outscore the other team. The number of games that we could have won last year had we just held that team to one less field goal or one less touchdown, you know, we could have been hosting the championship game instead of just being on the road during the playoffs.
Right.
So definitely defense was our upgrade.
Well, looking at your division there, I mean, you guys at this point in time have to be the favorites.
I would say favorites in the NFC North, but I would not be willing to go any farther than that. You know,
sure.
Philadelphia. When I look at the game tape from the Philadelphia game that we had on Monday night, regular season last year, as well as the playoff game, the Eagles are just playing at a whole different pace. It's like a high school team going up against, you know, a pro team. It's not quite that dramatic, but you can see that they're just on a different plane. Even watching the Steelers-Eagles preseason game here within the last week or so, both those teams look great and are going to be contending for their respective conference championships again this year. But the Vikings are definitely an NFC contender. I got them, the Eagles, and probably Carolina as a dark horse right now.
Fantastic. Well, out of the AFC West, many people are still picking San Diego to win the West this year. Oakland definitely has an impressive side, but they haven't done anything on the defense, so I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. I know that they switched back to a 4-3, and so maybe it'll suit the likes of Warren Sapp, but that's yet to be seen. So we'll see what happens. Now, we haven't seen much of Randy Moss from Oakland yet. They have barely been playing him. They've been very cautious about him being on the field and getting hurt. So it's going to definitely be a challenge for us. But it does help that we played you guys here in San Diego a couple of years ago, and that's when Flutie came in and had the best game of his life, really, you know.
Yes.
But Denver is Denver, and they're always going to be competitive. And Kansas City, they've improved their defense, and we all know that they can put up points. So it's definitely going to be harder for us, not just in our division, but also just traveling and going on the road. We're going to have to go play some top-notch teams, such as Pittsburgh, Indianapolis again. We're going to Philadelphia. So if the Chargers are for real, then this is the year to prove it.
Well, it depends on when those road games are. If they're late in the year, you know, going into cold weather, it's always tougher as opposed to, you know, going to, say, Pittsburgh in September.
Right. Well, I know that the Philadelphia game is later in the year, and the Pittsburgh game is going to be here in San Diego, so that does help. But we have a couple of primetime games, couple of nationally televised games, and we have a bunch of kids that really haven't been exposed to that yet. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this year.
So we've got a big, huge stadium issue here. I'm going to switch topics on you,
mm-hmm.
If you don't mind.
Not at all.
We've been trying to get a new stadium here for I give up now. It's probably going on 15 years, if not more. And now we've got a new owner. Red McComb sold the team, and a Giants fan, believe it or not. Zygmunt Wilf, who is a land developer, was fortunate enough to buy the team. He seems like a great guy. And being a land developer, he's already, I think, gotten farther along than Red McCombs ever did as far as trying to get a new stadium built. So the problem is that we've got the Minnesota Twins and the University of Minnesota, the Minnesota Gophers, saying they need a stadium too, and it looks like the Vikings are going to be third in line And of course, just like every other state, the residents are saying, we're not building a stadium for billionaire toys. You know, build it yourself.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, it's all familiar to San Diego.
It does. In fact, situation is pretty similar here. Now we have the same ownership, and they've actually changed the proposal to the city a little bit here, in that we are not going to pay anything, but what they're asking for in return is the land that's surrounding the current stadium right now, Qualcomm Stadium. So the stadium right now is in a place called Mission Valley, and what the Chargers want to do is build a state-of-the-art facility with the city giving them the land to develop on. Also, with that land, they want to develop some condos, some shops, things around the stadium so that year-round people can go there and utilize the area. And, it would be great. It would give a lot of tax revenue back into the city and really benefit us in the future for Super Bowls and bowl games, college bowl games. There's actually some talk right now, since we share the same stadium with San Diego State, that there's a possibility that we might host two bowl games. So in the Holiday Bowl and maybe something else. So that everything sounds great, and as a sports fan, you would think that would be a no-brainer. But being in San Diego, and I don't know how much you get to hear about San Diego, but our city council is really screwy. They've messed a lot of things up, and the Chargers weren't very popular before last season because of a ticket guarantee that they had signed with the city council back in the Super Bowl era. So with that ticket guarantee basically said that if you don't sell out, the city would then have to buy the rest of the seats, which then would lift the TV blackout. So the city didn't like that. So right now the city does not want to give that land away to the Chargers for free. And again, it's one of those situations where why should we give something for free to a billionaire or a millionaire? And Alex Spanos, the team's owner, is a developer himself. So, you know, we have a plan in place, and he hired a person by the name of Mark Fabiani to kind of head up this project of building a new stadium. So they're out in the community right now trying to show everybody the plan, and hopefully when the elections come out, they're trying to get it on the ballot for 2006, basically. And once that happens, then it's up to the voters of San Diego County to approve the stadium.
So it would have to go to a referendum to get it approved.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. We're trying to avoid referendums here and just kind of strong-arm it through. I know Alex Spanos is great friends with Rush Limbaugh as well, so maybe he can pick up some big money out there and help fund the stadium just a little bit. How about ticket prices?
Ticket prices?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Just going back to the stadium issue real quick. Here in San Diego, the NFL is willing to put some money into building the stadium. Is it the same case in Minnesota?
No, because I can see the NFL putting in money into San Diego because everybody wants to go there for the Super Bowl. And that's been my running joke this year is I know that this is the year the Vikings are going to go to the Super Bowl because where do I have to go to? I have to go to Detroit. Nobody wants to go to a Super Bowl in Detroit.
That baffles me, but...
I can see the NFL definitely making that so that even putting it on a rotation, and I know that they've had an unofficial rotation for a number of years, but, you know, why not put it in the warm weather climate where it's rotating between Miami and San Diego, and, you know, everybody complained about Jacksonville, but it seemed to go out pretty well this year. You know, there's a brand new facility down in Houston as well. Keep it down in the warm weather so us fans have something to look forward to when our team finally does get to the Super Bowl.
Yep. So, and my last question for you in regards to your stadium issue, you guys don't share the same stadium as the Gophers?
Back in the... I think it was right around 84 or so is when we moved into the Metrodome. It probably was even a little bit earlier than that. My history is bad because I didn't live here until 91. The Twins and the Vikings have always shared a stadium. It was outdoor before, called Metropolitan Stadium, where the Mall of America now stands. And during that time, the University of Minnesota had their own stadium as well. Now, when the Metrodome was built, for whatever reason, they tore down the University of Minnesota stadium so that the Gophers, the Twins, and the Vikings are all sharing the Metrodome. And the University of Minnesota has been for years saying it's hard for us to draw from off campus. We want a stadium back on campus. We want that college atmosphere. And, you know, and I tend to agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was their choice way back when to demolish what was a beautiful old stadium. It was called Memorial Stadium. I think it was built with Depression-era hands, war veterans in mind. And, you know, that was a very poor decision in hindsight. So all three teams are sharing a stadium now, and all three teams want their own separate stadium.
I see. I agree with you in regards to the whole college atmosphere. And San Diego State over here thought about the same thing. It's just that there really isn't any land on campus anymore to build a stadium.
Well, there's always land to be had.
Right. So ticket prices, they've gone up.
Well, it's been a sore spot with me. When I first got my season tickets back in 1992, I was paying $38 a ticket, and now this year I'm paying $68 a ticket. So, you know, quite a dramatic rise over a short time period. And every single year, our tickets, especially when Red McCombs was owning the team, our ticket prices were going up anywhere from 4 to 7% every single year. You know, it's more than my raise I've been getting every year, more than corporate America. And I've got a little bit of an issue with that, especially with, by the time you get done paying for parking and you're buying a little bit of food, maybe a little bit of merchandise, you know, you're spending a couple hundred dollars, depending on how many people you take along with you. And what I'm starting to worry about, and this is my point, is the NFL finally getting to a point where this is just going to be a corporate subsidized game and the little guy is just going to be on the outside looking in? You know, you look back to those old videos and serials from the 1920s where you go to a baseball game and you've got all the guys on the fence looking through the little peephole. And that's kind of what I'm imagining here and worrying about, is that the only way that you're going to be able to go to a football game is through a corporate donation.
I have to agree with you there. with all the new stadiums being built, I mean, really one of the focuses is to build more luxury boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's for corporations to attend these games, they're going to buy up these boxes. And the way that prices are going up, and let me use San Diego as an example. I paid around $900 for four tickets up in the nosebleed section. And this was actually what they called the family section. And after our success last year, that went up to about $1,200. So that's almost a 30% increase. And on top of that, we basically had, say, $10 parking, and I believe it's up to $17 now. So that's a 70% increase. Right.
That's still cheap. I remember back in 98, we were paying $10 to park, and literally by the end of the season, and this is America at its best, by the end of the season, we were paying $25 to park.
Oh, wow.
That was our 15 in 1 year. You know, that really started to burn people that you're taking advantage of us just because the team is doing so well.
Well, I don't know if anybody's ever gotten together to complain to their local teams, but maybe some people just need to write in or group up together and just make it known. But I think when your team is winning, people are willing to overlook that.
They are.
Yeah, so.
They are willing to overlook it. But the other thing I'm not willing to overlook, as long as we're talking about new stadiums, is and also the thing I worry most about is the private seat license. So besides having to pay for the ticket, I know I've got to pay for the right to buy the ticket.
Correct, correct. And people kind of have different variations of that. Here in San Diego, they actually made people buy an additional ticket for a premium type game or a game that they thought was, that they deemed as a premium game, such as a Pittsburgh game.
Right.
So people, that ruffled people's feathers here in San Diego, where they basically had to buy an additional ticket, I believe, plus a preseason ticket. And here locally, during this game against the Rams on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
there was an incident in our parking lot where somebody had left, I guess, burning coals underneath the car, which then caused a fire because it reached the gas can somehow and burned six other cars. So there's a big old fire in the stadium outside, which then they put out. But then one of the fans whose car burned down didn't even want to be there. He bought that ticket because it was part of the whole, you know, you have to buy an extra ticket deal, and he's an actual Pittsburgh fan. So now he lost out on that, and he lost his car.
The Vikings have been doing that for a good number of years now. Is if you want a game, if you want to see the Green Bay game, for instance, then you also have to buy a preseason ticket. And you know, people have just come to accept it. And you know, it's just marketing to fill up those preseason seats.
Well, you guys are used to it. All the success you guys have year after year. We haven't had success here since '95, so. It's kind of new to us again.
Well, I count success as having the Super Bowl ring in your finger, so we've never been successful.
I hear you. Well, we were just pretty excited to be in the playoffs last year, but we're hoping to take it up to that level. So.
Well, I hope both teams will end up in Detroit. You know, just wear your big fur coat.
It should be a great game this Friday. I really hope that the players come out of it injury-free. And, you know, good luck to the Vikings this season.
Well, good luck to the Chargers. I always enjoy watching them. This is I have a five-year-old son, and what I've been doing the past couple of years is just taking him to a preseason game. You know, at 5 years old, 4 years old, you've got an attention span of an ant. So this is his game to go to this year, and he's really excited because this is a team that has the thunder and lightning on its helmet.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I did the same thing this past game. Took my two daughters, ages 6 and 8, and like you said, they could only last till about halftime, and we had to go. So you have a great time out there with your son.
I certainly will. Thanks for the podcast, and you know, hopefully we can connect again during the pre-Super Bowl week.
That sounds great. I'm hoping that happens.
All right.
All right, Brian, you take it easy.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, I hope you guys enjoyed that. I'd like to thank Brian Moss again from the Vikings Underground podcast for his time. And I'd love to hear from all of my listeners out there. If you guys have any thoughts or comments on about the podcast or about our Chargers, please email me at bolttalk@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you guys. Send me your audio comments to my voicemail at 206-350-6864. I'd love to hear what you guys think about the upcoming season. Tell me your thoughts on the Antonio Gates holdout and how he's finally back in San Diego. I'd love to play that back on my next podcast. And if you guys enjoy the show, I'd really appreciate it if you guys can get out to podcastalley.com and vote for the show. All right? So you guys take it easy. Don't forget, Friday game, 5 p.m. start versus the Vikings. It will be televised. And I'm hoping to see a lot more from Merriman, and hopefully Vincent Jackson will get some play time. And we're going to really find out here who's going to be sticking with the team as the season starts. So you guys take it easy, and I'll talk to you guys next time.